This is a Collider.com audio interview.
This weekend in Austin, Mondo, which is like a poster shop, put out all these Drive posters, these really cool limited ones. I wasn't joking.
Different from the ones that were out, yeah.
Totally. I'm just curious if you've ever seen all the fan art and all the other stuff for them.
I haven't. No, I haven't seen any of it.
You got to get online.
I guess so. I've been wanting one of the... Diesel was going to do the Scorpion jackets, and something fell through, but I still want one of those.
You can get variations on them online. They
really?
Might not be the exact thing itself, but...
I could deal with a variation.
But if all you want to do is dress up as that for Halloween, I think you can find what
I want to rock it. I want to wear it around town. I'm like, maybe if you were in the movie, it's weird. I don't know. People would be like, let it go, Christina. That was last year.
Can I start with just a quick question about, now that you've had time to play this character for a while, when you look at her, what do you think she represents as far as women of that era?
You know, it's tricky because I don't think Matt has written any of these characters to represent or to be stereotypical in any way, and I think that, and I don't know if that she represents anything specifically for her era. I think a lot of people, if you said Joan, people that maybe the first thing people would say was sort of like strength or confidence, mm-hmm. and I think that's one of her wonderful attributes as a character. But I also think that she's also shown an incredibly vulnerable side and a fragile side. That's why I love playing her. Is she gets to do all this different stuff that Matt writes. So, but I definitely think that she is a fighter for sure.
So we've seen her make a lot of sacrifices for what she wants, whether it's power at the office or in her home life. Do we see more of that in this new season?
Well, we definitely are sort of exploring the fact that we've seen her all of a sudden become partner. And sort of what that means, you know, are people going to just all of a sudden turn around and, oh, Joan's a partner, let's treat her like a partner? Or is it, you know, how she got there going to affect, you know, or is it a title and just sort of everything same as usual? So that's sort of the fun thing going into season six that we explore with Joan.
Well, is the how she got there of it all, is that the kind of thing that eats at Joan, or is it the kind of thing that she's able to sort of compartmentalize, at least initially?
You know, one of the great things about Matt is that he carries some of these storylines through, you know, season after season after season. So these characters' decisions affect all their decisions after that. So it will always be something that she knows she did, you know. But I think one of the things that I really like about Joan is that she sort of makes a decision, sticks with it, demands not to be judged for it, in all sorts of things that she's done throughout the show. And I think this is another one of those things.
I'm curious how it's changed in terms of you finding out storylines for the seasons as it's been going. For example, like this season, how much were you told before it started shooting where it was going to go?
Nothing. This is the first year. Usually I call Matt at the beginning of the season and I say, okay, what's going on? And he's like, well, I'm not really... And then he tells me everything, which is awesome. And this year I've called him time after time, and I said, what's happening next? What's going on? And he's like, well, I'm not quite ready to tell you. I've gotten nothing this year.
Were you bummed when you got the premiere script and found out you had fewer lines than Don Draper?
That I had what?
Fewer lines than Don Draper.
Everyone has fewer lines than Don Draper.
No, I know, but like, he doesn't even speak for the first 10 minutes.
Is that true? I don't even remember. I don't remember feeling bummed. I just remember thinking it was a great script. But.
Well, can you talk about not knowing? Does that make it different as you go into a season to act out the role? Is it better not to know? Or do you like to know where the end of this is going to take me?
I don't think it... I think I'm able to have that information and not have it influence my performance. I think I'm able to do that. I like knowing. It's fun to
yeah.
know. Because I get the scripts each time and I'm like, what's going to happen? I have a little more anxiety this year because I'm just so excited to see them. In the past, I've had a little bit more inclination, so it's been different.
I know you're limited with what you could say, but the promo for AMC says it's the affair of the year. And you're you know, Joan and Don have really bonded in the last season. can we expect them to maybe take it to the next level?
I love that the audience wants this, because there's been very little sort of hinting at that, you know. Yes, they had some really great scenes last season where there was definitely flirtation and chemistry, but I think that scene was really about mutual respect and about two people having a lot of history together and knowing each other quite well. But you never know.
Would you like to see it go that direction?
If it made sense for the characters, I'm sure that if that was something that happened, it would be for a very good reason that Matt would, you know, inform us of.
At Roger's mother's funeral, actually the guys are still talking about whether Joan and Roger are sleeping together.
So you guys have all seen the episode?
Yes.
I have not. So you are reminding me of things because I have not seen it.
I mean, and this is the 60s and the sexual revolution. But does it bother Joan that she may be a partner, but she doesn't get equal respect because maybe the guy still thinks she slept her way into that?
Well, I can't. It's hard to answer that without revealing too much. But I do think that Joan thinks she deserves the title and deserves the job, and I think that she's proven herself to be incredibly capable and quite talented at it. So I think that if she found out she wasn't getting the respect she deserved, that would bother her.
Because she did make that deal with that client, mm-hmm. that stuff. But most of those guys don't know that. They only know about her and Roger.
Most of the men know about that. Well, Pete's the one who brought it up in the first place, you know. And they sort of had a group meeting about it, remember, in last season to sort of, and even Roger was like, I don't want to know about it, but I know about it, you know. Yeah. So there were a lot of people who were mad at Roger for his reaction last year.
You've been with Joan for so long. What did you really want to see for her this season?
You know, it's hard because you really want to do all these great scenes, and that could be disastrous or happy. You know, it doesn't matter as long as it's just beautiful material, and it always is, luckily. But as we end, you know, get towards the end here, I just hope that I hope it wraps up beautifully for her. You know, I don't think I'll ever be satisfied because I would like to play her forever. So it'll be difficult, but I mean, I want her to be happy and in love, but it's Mad Men, so who are we kidding? You know, who knows what's going to happen?
What is her romantic life in the new season, whether it's with a new person or maybe Roger or somebody we already know?
I can't say that.
She has a romantic life.
I can't say that.
Can you talk a little bit about your wardrobe or
Okay.
This season? Your personal style is amazing, and that's
the
style on the show.
Well, I definitely have been very influenced by Joan in my real life, as you can see my pencil skirts today. Janie Bryant, our costume designer, does an extraordinary job, and the fashion is definitely changing. You know, I mean, we're moving along in the 60s, but I think Joan has a bit of a consistency, not only to her character, but also to sort of what she knows works for her and what she likes. So, she's definitely someone who reads fashion magazines and moves with the trends, but she definitely knows what works for her. I think the men's fashion this year is standout.
How's that on the side?
Yeah, I mean, since you guys have seen it, I mean, it's definitely groovier. I mean, my outfit in that first episode, I feel like Daphne from Scooby-Doo. And then, there's a lot of Scooby-Doo outfits, I would say.
Where are you in the shooting schedule? Maybe everyone else knows, but I don't.
We're already on the 11.
So you're almost. So have you seen the finale script?
No one's seen it. I don't know if it exists yet.
Joan has experienced a lot of heartbreak through all of these seasons, and viewers have experienced it with her. I think it might be safe to say that last season with the Jaguar client was one of the most, if not the most, heartbreaking kind of moments to watch for Joan. Was that the most heartbreaking or challenging for you to play? Was that, how difficult was that?
I didn't find it heartbreaking. I found it, I mean, as an actress, it was extraordinary, you know, because there was so much there. Gosh, I don't. I mean, it's sad in its consistency that was her only option, and that is disappointing and real and maybe it's heartbreaking. But to me, for her personal life, I think that, you know, her marriage not working and obviously some of the horrific things that happened with her husband, I would say were very heartbreaking to her. Even some of the things with Roger, I think, were quite heartbreaking. Going all the way back to season one, you know, watching your lover, you know, have a heart attack and not being able to help and not being able to be visible, I think is quite heartbreaking.
Do you do that a lot? Look back at past seasons and, you know, watch them for, I don't know, inspiration or
I think I just have an incredible memory for them because you know, every time we play a scene, all those things influence your decisions as an actor.
Yeah.
You know, you have to remember that relationship that those two people have every time they walk in a room together. There's that history, which is one of the best things about being on a show for six seasons, is you have all that information. You're not having to sort of create a history. But every once in a while in the middle of the night, I watch a rerun from the early seasons, and I love it. I love it because there's just things you forget, and you get to see Kiernan, and she's so little, and she's so fantastic, and so that's pretty fun to walk down memory lane like that.
Now, you mentioned that this is sort of approaching an end. Are you guys approaching this as a seventh season as the last one, or...?
Technically, that is what... contractually, I think we all have decided on. I'm putting it out there into the world that I'm hoping Matt changes his mind and decides he wants to write a couple more seasons, because I would, you'd do it, you know, gladly and with bells on. So I'm putting it out there in the universe that we've got more.
There's a logical next step, like they did with Entourage and then in a movie. Has that been bandied about at all?
Oh, I have not heard that. You are the first person to say that out loud, I think.
In the six.
You'd like to see it, but
I guess so. I feel like that hasn't worked so many times, and I would never want to taint what Matt's done thus far. So if anyone could do it right, I'm sure it would be him, but it is that scary feeling of, like, don't mess with what was good.
It's
you know?
Yeah.
But The Serenity was good.
Yes.
That was a good movie. Yeah, that's true. That's true. That's good. That was a good example. Yeah.
Joan, what makes her different than the other partners is, of course, she's a mom. Is Matt going to write anything at all towards the fact of working mothers? Because that was a big thing in the 60s, that women decided they could leave the house and go back to work.
Yes, I mean, I think he's even addressed it in the beginning of last season, you know, when Joan comes in overdressed and all dolled up with her pram, like, I'm fine, everything's fine, you know, and sort of desperately wanting to be needed. I think that was, you know, a good introduction to even that then. But, you know, Joan's a single mother, and she's got her crazy mom to help her out.
How often when you guys are working on the scripts, do you get, like, pink and purple and green pages? Or is it sort of like, when you get the script, it's pretty much what you're actually going to shoot?
It is pretty much what we're actually going to shoot. We do get a blue script that has changed a little bit, and then I think we get like two pages of pink, and that's really where it ends. It never goes further than that. And to be quite honest, I oftentimes can't tell the changes. You know, they're pretty spot on when we get them. That is a luxury. I know a lot of shows are last minute on set getting rewrites, and that would make me, especially on a show like ours, where we do not change a word of what's on that page. We do not add an S. We do not add an apostrophe. It is exactly as it is. So,
has it always been like that throughout all the seasons, or has it been getting more, you know what I mean?
No, always been that way.
Joan and Peggy have such a great relationship in the earlier years, and now that Peggy's not at the office, are we seeing any more of that? Like, will they interact at all this season?
Yes. Dot, dot, dot.
Okay.
What else about the 60s besides wardrobe have you come to love? Is it music, or are you sorry you haven't didn't live in that time period, or is there something political that you liked? Can you talk about your feeling about the 60s, since you can't talk about the show?
I think we are in a much better place now in pretty much every regard. And we can just steal the fashion that we want, so that's better too. Not missing any, like, pineapple salads, anything food-wise. No, I think we're in a better place.
Can I follow up on that? If you weren't, the 60s are such a fun period to play. What is another period that you would be interested in?
I'd always...
For another role.
Yeah, I would always love to do the 1920s. I think that would be intriguing.
If I'm not mistaken, you're going to be in Ryan Gosling's directorial debut.
Mm-hmm.
Talk a little bit about how'd you get involved in that, and are you looking forward to, you know, being part of this?
I am. I'm super excited. As you know, we worked together on Drive, and one day when we were in that crazy car, he was like, I would love to direct you in something one day, and I was like, okay. Like, what a sweet thing to say, and... Are you a director? then almost a year later, he called me and said, "I've written the script, and I imagined you in this role, and would you consider it?" And I was just incredibly flattered and honored. And he sent the script, and it's fantastic that he wrote. And we're going to go shoot it in Detroit in May, and I'm super excited.
Detroit in May.
Can you expand a little bit? You talked about you think we have better now in so many ways.
Mm.
If you talk specifically about as far as women in workplace, do you see that? I mean, is it miles and miles so far ahead that you wouldn't have wanted to live and try to work in the 60s?
My experience is all from the show and the research I've done, so I don't know what it was truly like, but based on the storylines and the things, you know, it's an important time because things were really changing for women then, you know, really starting to change, and you know, based on the characters in this show, watching a Peggy, you know, really grow and able to move into a job that was mostly men, and you know, so I think it started there, and now we don't even question whether I could be the president of a company or any of that, and I think that's fantastic. I think we have further to go, but
right.
You know,
Joan has this amazing talent for telling people exactly what they want to hear, but in a sincere way. Do you think she was able to do that because she was putting aside her own thoughts and feelings for a long time? Or is she just able to balance this kind of alternate society where women have a certain role versus what she ultimately wants to achieve?
You think, you said that she can tell people and be sincere, tell them what they want to hear, but that it's sincere? I don't think she tells them what they always want to hear.
I'm thinking in terms of like the beginning of the show, the first couple seasons, where she's in this very misogynistic office,
mm-hmm.
She recognizes that, but she still plays along to the sense that the men are never ruffled about that.
Right.
And she manages to still balance what she wants to ultimately achieve.
Sure, okay, yeah.
Placating them.
Yeah. I think that's one of her strengths, is that she is incredibly political in that way, and she can really gauge her environment. And I think that's why she can sort of take the sexual remarks and the behavior at work by turning around and joking with them, but just enough to sort of say back off. But I'm not going to make a big deal out of this, you know. And she does have a really nice balance. Then on the other hand, she goes and says really sort of rash things to some of the girls in the office, you know. But I think it's because she's trying to be helpful and she believes that she's sort of running the ship and she needs everyone in order, and so she's got to make it run smoothly. And I think that's how she survives with the men and the women in the office.
Let me if I'm not mistaken, John Hamm directs the third episode. Or am I wrong about this?
I don't remember.
Okay, well, did he direct an episode this season?
Yes.
I think it was the third. Can you talk a little bit about, because this was his first time directing an episode, I believe.
Second time.
My bad.
Give him team news.
Again, I'm totally prepared. Talk a little bit about what it's like working with him as the director, and was anything different for the second time?
I did not work with him last time, so it was my first time with him, I believe that's right. And he's great, and John Slattery as well, because they know the characters so perfectly, and they know the story, and they know the incomplete history. And so any note they give you, you're like, oh yeah, of course. And because they're actors, they know how to talk to other actors so easily, and so they're great at it.
You said before that you often sometimes find yourself watching old episodes late at night. Are there other shows that you watch or have like binge watched or anything recently that you've become sort of addicted to?
Well, I binge watched House of Cards because I was allowed to binge watch. Netflix, yay! I thought that was so great. I watched the whole season in 3 days. So I loved that. So that would... But I think a lot of people binge watch shows. I think people sort of wait. A lot of people wait, and then they watch them all at once, or they'll watch a couple seasons at a time. That's how I watched Deadwood. I watched it years after everyone else, and then I just literally was like bleary-eyed, and I started dressing like them. You know, I was like, I'm not allowed to binge watch it because it just comes on weekly. But I've been into The Following. I think that show's really good. Mm-hmm. Enjoying that.
Any chance you might find somebody improved?
I'm sorry?
Any chance you might get somebody approved? Will you and Jeffrey have anything planned to do together?
Well, we did it a couple seasons ago. We did an episode together. But I haven't done anything with him this season. No future plans to. But we had a lot of fun doing it together. It was romantic. It was fun.
Do you have any fun cast traditions like The Walking Dead? They have death dinners when people like die.
Do they? They must have a lot of dinners.
They would pretend it was somebody's birthday, so they wouldn't give it away. I don't know if you guys as a cast, I mean, it's not as morbid as their, like, death dinners. But if you have any, if you have any, like, fun traditions like that season after season, that's a lot.
Gosh, I don't know if we have traditions. I have to say, my husband's been saying this since the beginning. He's like, you guys celebrate more than any show I've ever seen. Like, we have a party for the beginning, the end, this, that. We always find a reason to get together and socialize and hang out. So we're a very festive group.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you all. Nice to see you. Thank you.